love keeps no record of wrongs. You know, love doesn't harbor resentment, does it? That's what it means. But I can assure you that resentment keeps a very careful set of books, doesn't it? But God doesn't, and love doesn't do that. Love doesn't keep a record of wrongs.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, hello everyone, and welcome. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill continues his study in the New Testament epistle of 1 Corinthians with the conclusion to Love Activates the Gifts. Let's listen in.
The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:1, it says, be ye imitators of God as dear children. We're to imitate the Lord and say, Lord, this is what you told us to do. You see, when we're kind, not the feeling of being kind, I'm just going to be kind to that individual. Do they deserve it? I don't know if they deserve it. I'm not God. Amen? I'm just going to be kind. Why? Because I have the love of God in my heart. I'm going to be kind. Not the emotional feeling, not a feeling. I'm going to just be kind to other people because God said to. It's living in my heart. The Bible tells us in 1 John 2:6, it says, if we say that we abide in him, let us walk even as he walked. Philippians 2:5, let this mind, meaning Jesus, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus told us in John 13, what did he tell us in the upper room? He said, listen, a new commandment I give unto you that ye love one another. Here's the new part, as I have loved you. By this, the whole world, all will know that you're my disciples. When you love one another, agape, like I loved you. And then we get to verse 8, the foundational scripture, and which has always been the foundational scripture of this church. Love never fails. Did you know that never is a long time? It never, love never, the agape of God, it never fails. Now listen, you know what I love about Paul? You notice what he just did? We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. Man, they love in Corinth the gifts of the Spirit. There's people today, they love the gifts of the Spirit, okay? I understand. However, Paul, who knew and flowed in the gifts like unbelievable, raising the dead, all the rest of it, he just took love and he placed it where it belongs. He put love at the very highest place. He lifted it right back to where it should always be, to the throne room of God. See, God is love, not love is God. Are you with me? Very important. Never refers, when it says love never fails, never refers to time, okay? Meaning that love never decays. It never wilts. It never dies. It'll outlast everything because it's eternal. Everything that we know of is going to pass away, isn't it? You know what? But right here, he's saying that love never fails. That is one thing in the universe that you can count on forever and ever and ever and ever because love is deathless. Love is eternal. Love is eternally fresh. It is always young. And you know what? Time's going to fail. When we arrive at heaven, we're not going to say, well, the sun's coming up and here comes the moon. You know why? There is no sun. There is no moon. They're gone. The Lamb is a light of heaven. Amen? Yes. Listen, love never fails. What a great word. It's become a byword here, a byword in our county, a byword all over America on the radio where we're on all over. I've received letters and it all love never fails. Thank you for love never fails. Bill, it's not me. It's God's word. Love never fails birthed this church. It birthed a charity called Love Never Fails International. It builds orphanages. It builds homes in Mexico. Love Never Fails has done that. Not only that, it's getting ready to build Haltom Christian School. Amen? That's what this word from God has done. Now listen, love never fails. You've heard me say over the years, it's not a formula. It's not magic. Love doesn't always win. Okay? And that hurts. Jesus Christ, our Lord, the perfect, sinless, spotless Son of the living God, loved every person, yet was he loved? He did good to everyone, yet he was not loved by everyone. But I know this, Jesus never stopped loving those who did not love him. And his love He went to the cross. Why? He loved us. He died for us. He took our sins. He took our shame. It says, love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will fail. Now listen, when will the prophecies fail? When all the prophecies are fulfilled. Amen? Are they all fulfilled? Okay, so that must mean that God's still working, okay? Not only that, it says now where there's tongues, boy, if there's some that just hate that word, they will cease. I'll talk about that in chapter 14. Whether there's knowledge, it'll vanish away. But it's not vanished away yet. If you'll notice, if you looked at my college books from college when I was in school, and you read them today, they would say, that's wrong. You follow me? They have all new knowledge now. You understand? It says, and then for we know in part, we prophesy in part. In other words, we don't have the total picture. Now listen carefully. Paul is not teaching here, as some say, that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. No. If you believe that the gifts of the Spirit have ceased, it's okay. I love you, man. To me, it's a non-essential. When people say, well, I don't believe in the gifts, that's okay. Well, I don't believe in the rapture either. I don't care. Well, we're going to get our heads cut off in the great tribulation period. Okay. And I always just tell him, I say, you know, or her, I say, listen, whenever the rapture occurs, I'll explain everything on the way up. You understand? No, that's a non-essential. If they don't believe it, it's okay. I love them. I'm not going to beat them up. Amen. However, when people say, well-known people, and they destroy, say that the gifts are from the devil today and things like that, it breaks my heart. It hurts me because it just kills me. Loved one, listen, the gifts, they have not ceased any more than knowledge has vanished away. Paul would never tell us or tell the church at Corinth, pursue love in chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that ye may prophesy. He would have never pinned that if they were going to cease. He would say, you got just a few months left. John's getting ready to die. You know, when John dies, after he writes the Revelation, it's all over with. Are you with me? Yeah, okay. Listen, no. That's not how it works. They haven't ceased. Paul is simply saying, when completeness is finally revealed, all the things that he just mentioned, they're not going to have any need for him anymore. Look at verse 10. But when that which is perfect or that which is complete has come, then that which is in part or literally incomplete will be done away with. Let me read the Phillips translation. When the complete comes, that is the end of incomplete. Now, there are those that I dearly respect. They teach that phrase there, that which has perfect or complete has come. They say the word complete is speaking of the Holy Scriptures. In other words, the moment that John on the island of Patmos, AD 100, whenever it was, and he finally penned the book of Revelation, and he died. The canon, yes, I agree, was complete, all 66 books. However, they teach that when he died, all the gifts died with him. Well, let me ask you a question. Has the gifts of helps died? The gifts of administration died? Exhortation? Giving? No. Well, then, which gifts have passed away? Well, these spectacular gifts. Oh, I see. So all we need now is money and no power, right? No, loved one, it just doesn't work that way. Now watch what he says again. He says, when that which is perfect has come, you know what that refers to? Not the completion of Scripture, because when we get to verse 12, we're going to find out the one that we're going to meet face to face is our Lord Jesus Christ. When that happens, then everything's going to be finally over with. Amen? That's when it's going to be complete. Verse 11, when as a child I spoke as a child, I understand as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. What's Paul saying? Grow up, guys. You're abusing the gifts. You're getting drunk at the Lord's Supper. You're divided. You're carnal. You're babes. Grow up. Stop abusing the gifts of the Spirit. So, purpose of the gifts, if you'll read Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, go all the way to 16, you're going to find out that the gifts were to build up the body of Christ, to lead us from infancy into maturity, into the fullness of Christ. But we have not attained to the fullness of Christ, and we will not attain to the fullness of Christ until we are with Him. Are you with me? 1 John 3, what is it? 2. For when we see Him, we will be like Him. We're not like Him yet. We're being changed now from glory to glory to glory. But when we see Him, there's no more glory to glory to glory. We're home. Oh, praise God for that day. For now, we see in a mirror dimly. In other words, blurry, okay? They didn't have mirrors like we had back then. They just looked in metal. You couldn't see the perfect reflection. But then, face to face, that day when we see our Lord. Now I know in part, then I shall know or fully know, just as I also am known, meaning when that which is perfect has come. So, We have the Bible. We have complete revelation. Yes, our canon is closed. Absolutely. We can never add to the Bible. You'll be cursed, anyone that does that. However, loved one, listen, our understanding is best partial. But when Jesus comes, that's going to change. Our partial knowledge then will be displaced with His perfect knowledge. Verse 13, now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. One day we won't need hope anymore. Do you understand? The Bible says in Romans, I think it's 8:24, for hope that is seen is not hope. When we get to heaven, we won't be hoping for heaven. We're there. Amen. And he says that one day there'll be no need for faith. Remember how the song goes, that in that day when our faith becomes sight, it'll all vanish away. But love, it's the greatest. Love is eternal. Love lasts forever, for God is love. Now listen to me. The church at Corinth elevated the gifts of the Spirit above the Lord. They loved the gifts of the Spirit, the spectacular gifts. They were abusing the gift of tongues like you cannot believe. Loved one, listen, Paul says, why are you doing that? Don't elevate that which will one day not last. Why are you doing that? If you're going to elevate something, elevate that which will last forever. And that is the love of God. That is the agape of God. That's why he says in chapter 14, 1, pursue love. In other words, make it your chief goal because it opens the door for the gifts of the Spirit. Watch, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now listen very carefully. Let me just make a quick application and you guys can go to Luby's, okay? Whenever someone truly sees a believer walking in agape, the supernatural love of God, they're not edgy, they're not touchy, they're not quickly offended, they're always kind, they turn the other cheek, they take offense, they never defend themselves, they let God defend them. That's exactly what Jesus did. When they beat him, he never said a word, never opened his mouth. When they ripped his back to pieces, he never said a thing. No, loved one, listen to me. It is love of the agape of God that activates the gifts. And it's the only way to exercise the gifts. It is God's love in you that exercises the gifts in us when he wills, as he wills, in whom he wills. And when that happens, you don't know when it's going to happen. You can't plan it. I have gift of healing, okay. No, it doesn't work that way. I hear it all the time. I have the gift of healing, you know. And then people say, well, then if you have that gift, why don't you go to the hospital and empty Cook's Children's Hospital? And they go, well, and they'll always say, well, they don't believe. If they believe, then I could pray. You ever heard of bull? Listen, the gifts don't work when I want them to work. The gifts work when he wants them to work. And those gifts are not my gifts. They're his gifts. They don't belong to me. I am a steward. You are a steward. Amen. Okay, so they're activated. So whenever a person is hurting, whenever they are wounded, whenever they need God, and they see, they don't know how to explain it, but they see a believer who walks in that kind of love, who demonstrates that kind of love, it draws them to that individual. And when that happens, then all of a sudden, the love that God has bestowed and poured out in your heart starts manifesting. You hear the voice of God, or you know that you're to pray, or immediately you have a word for somebody. That's how it works, and I can't explain it all. But I just know that's how it happens. Listen, love, the love of God is a magnet to those that are wounded. He was 67 years old. He stood 6'7". He had the whitest hair and the bluest eyes that I'd ever seen in my life. His hair snow white, and he combed it straight upward. So he added another 5 inches to his height. He was an incredible individual. He had a ragged old beard, and his dress was unbelievable. His cowboy boots were different. One on each side, a different color, different type. And his pants were so baggy and so dirty that he would take the pants into the boots. You know what I'm talking about. And then they were so large on him, he would take a rope, and that was his belt, and he would tie it. He always wore the same clothes. He always looked the same way. And he wore a plaid sport coat that was so tiny, his gigantic arms, the coat would come up to here. You know what I'm saying? It could never be buttoned. And he had a tie so colorful, so long, so big, so wide, big as Texas. You understand what I mean? His name was O.Z. Spurlock. He was the strangest man that I've ever met in my life. He drove a Cadillac that was old and long and beat up and a piece of junk. It was a convertible. One door on the driver's side was completely gone. He would drive it, see him driving through the city at all times, even in the middle of the night. And on one side of the car where the door was, there was a glow in the dark. You know those glow in the dark words? It says, I am a weather prophet. Now, he wasn't a weather prophet, but he said he was a weather prophet. Are you with me? Loved one, listen. This individual taught me 35 years ago about love. Nobody wanted him. Not one church would let him into their community or into the doors. He had the strangest voice that you ever heard. I mean, because he would go dip, 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 and he would say, there's a hurricane happening right now in Florida. But it wasn't really true. Do you understand? And on the front of his Cadillac when he pulled in, you can't imagine what was on the hood right there in the front. Texas Longhorns. You know what I'm saying? He was unbelievable. One day, he comes into my office. He just walks right in unannounced. I didn't know he was coming. I didn't even know the man. I didn't know if he's a serial killer. I just knew he was weird. He pulls in, and you could hear that Cadillac as it ran. It was horrible, the sound, and no mufflers, and you know what I'm saying. And he pulls in, comes to my office, and he walks up to me, and he goes, dip, 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 dip. There's a hurricane happening or whatever, China. I don't know what he was talking about. But he reaches into his pocket, and he pulls out two little short, used, dirty pencils and a piece of wadded-up white paper, and he set it on my desk. And he turns around, and he walks out. And that was my introduction to O.Z. Spurlock. You know, everyone treated him with disdain. I don't know, and I'm not trying to say that he was drawn to me because I know that the agape of God is a magnet. But there was something that he liked about me. And I'm not for sure what it was, because he was a very difficult man to talk to. And one night, he would never come to church. I begged him to come to church, but he would never come to church. He pulled in. It was a Sunday night service, and it had let out, and there was probably 20, 25 of the youth outside. And they were having a spitball fight. You know what that is. That's where our kids are more mature than that. Man, and they were slamming each other. It was gross. And I'm just standing out there talking to someone, and all of a sudden, OZ gets out of the car. He's walking right in the crowd, and those kids, all of them, they take that spit stuff out of their and just pound him in the face. And he's just backing up as they keep hitting him, and I'm going crazy. And the Holy Spirit immediately spoke to my heart, and this is what he said, the Lord. He says, my church, my people, they have been doing that to him all of his life, hitting on him, beating on him, mocking him, making fun of him, laughing at him. Well, of course, after I beat all the children, I knew that I'd probably never see OZ again. Who would ever want to come to a church that did that? Amen. About a week later, OZ comes to my office one more time, gives me the pencils, gives me the paper. I still don't know to this day why. I look at him and I said, OZ, I said, please forgive me. But I said, you are weird. Everybody knows you're weird. You're not a weather prophet. You've never been a weather prophet. Your car is a junk pile, and look at the clothes. What's your story? And he looked at me. I'll never forget it. He says, he never called me by pastor. He looked and said, Bill? And I thought, well, there's somebody there. He goes, you see, I grew up on the farm, and my mama and my daddy were farmers. I said, okay, why are you so weird then? Farmers aren't weird, OZ. He said, well, see, they had to work in the field, and it was winter. They were plowing it up, and it was cold, and they left me in my crib, and the fireplace was going, and they were out in the field, and I fell out of my crib, rolled over to the fireplace, and cooked my brain. And he leaned over, it's a huge man, and he leaned over, and what I saw, I'll never forget, the mutilation that took place. And I looked at him, kill me. I said, OZ, do you know Jesus? Is Jesus your Lord? He goes, Jesus, of course he's my Lord. I love Jesus with all my heart. I said, you mean you are a believer? He said, yes, I'm a believer. He gets up. I look at the pencils. He's gone. Sunday night, never had he ever been to a church service. No one would let him in the town. I'm talking about the gifts of the Spirit. I'm talking about the agape of God in people. Are you listening to me? There was a young woman who now, she died in a car wreck. Incredible, gifted woman. She was only 35 when she died. Her name was Lawana Latour. I could listen to her sing forever. And she was there at the church that night, and she was singing and just sharing about what God had done in her life. And guess who walks into the church as she is singing? OZ. He comes in. I'm in shock. He sits in the very, very back row. And when he sits down, he's still taller than everybody in the church. Do you understand? His hair is sticking straight up. He's got all the outfit on that he wears. And I'm going, OZ is here. And I'm thinking, praise the Lord. And then I could tell that LaWanna, that the power of God was moving in her. And she started walking down the aisle toward that man. And I'm going, oh God, please, please. He's going to scare that man out of the church. Don't let that woman go up to him, please. You've been there, right? Just let the man alone, you know. And she just starts singing and singing. And she says, you, oh, God just gave me a special song for you. She said, and he wants to honor you, but he wants you to know right now through this song, as I sing, how much he loves you. She starts singing that song, and she goes, and OZ, his face is as white as a white shirt. I know he's terrified, and I'm trembling in my heart for him because I know he's afraid of people. Do you understand? She gets him by the hand. She takes him, and I'm sitting there, and I'm going, oh, God, what's going to happen next? Takes him all the way up to the pulpit, and he is standing in front of all these people, and I know he is terrified in his heart, and she turns to him with the microphone, holding his hand, and sings one of the most beautiful songs that I've ever heard in my life. The moment that she did that, talking about love, the agape of God, the gift. Do you know it says singing and making melody in your heart as unto the Lord? Singing spiritual songs one to another, Ephesians 5:19. And that's what she started doing. And then the power of the Lord came into the building. I don't know how to explain that, but you just know the Lord was there. And one by one, as she was singing that song, those kids, the youth, that had thrown spitballs in OZ's face, one by one, I watched it. I've never forgotten for the rest of my life. They got up out of their chair one by one. The first one came up, and I was going, I don't know what was happening. And the kid fell upon OZ and started crying and said, OZ, forgive me. I love you. Then the next kid, then the next kid, then the next kid, until there was a 20, 25 kids all around him. And then some of the adults came up and circled around and fell upon, and you could see him straining, and all of a sudden, he felt something that I'm sure he had never felt in his life. He felt acceptance. He felt love. I saw him smile. I saw him looking at the kids. I saw him forgiving the kids. I saw agape. I saw healing. I saw a man that now had a life and had a reason to have a life. Are you listening to me? Listen, loved one, you know, listen, that's what love does. That's what the agape of God does. She immediately reached out to him and brought healing to this poor man in his life. He's 67 years old. He's dead now, but he was never the same. Why? The gifts of the Spirit. Why? The gifts of the Spirit activated by the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts. When you start loving the right way, and I love the right way, you can't help but exercise the gifts that God has given unto you. That's what it's all about. Don't let anyone tell you that the gifts operate any other way. Well, because I'm special. No, it's only because of the agape of God, and He gets the glory. Father, we praise you in Jesus' name. As your word says, Lord, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Lord, I'm thankful for the gifts. I'm thankful for these people. I'm thankful for this day. God is so good. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. Isn't God good?
On Love Never Fails Tomorrow, Pastor's study from 1 Corinthians continues with the message, The Gifts of Utterance. And we trust you'll tune in once again. Thanks so much for spending some of your day with us. Be blessed today, and we'll see you next time. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app.
Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.